This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game, and we have Shira Hussain from Leadonomics joining us today. And we're talking about that topic, the art of giving and receiving feedback, right?
Yes, good morning, Frida.
Good morning. And whenever we think of feedback, we think somehow we always associate it with criticism, but it's not the case.
Not really.
We'll see. So whenever we talk about feedback, right, what is an appropriate feedback?
Right. An appropriate feedback should be given for the purpose of betterment, development, enhancement of a person's performance, basically. Mm. It should have a certain criteria to it. You know, it should be given in a respectful tone. I think this is one of the most important criteria to look into. It should not refer to any backdated incidents that are no longer valid. It should be given in an encouraging tone, and you know, avoid any ill-mannered language or basically especially profanities.
Okay. And you're very interesting. You said not backdated incident means, you know, don't bring up the past kind of thing. Just this a particular situation.
What happens at that time, given at that time.
Okay, don't bring back the grandmother's story, the grandfather's story.
It's no longer valid and remembered perhaps at that time.
Okay. And what are other things?
I think it should be given without any biases. It should be delivered based on facts and reasons, definitely not emotions or any form of personal reference. You know, keep both compliment and criticism balanced, basically, which is the hardest part. Mm. It should also be given with clear examples. Illustrate the examples of scenarios to the person. Results are based on a measurement of a performance accordingly, basically. It should always be supported with evidence and suggestion of improvement.
Okay, so that's the thing with evidence. And evidence also has to be, I guess, very very clear evidence, and not this is my view, right? I think sometimes it's also then you feel that it's personal, right? Where if you got proper evidence of this is what happened.
That's true.
Right? So what is a constructive feedback then?
Basically, a constructive feedback is a feedback that needs to be learned and mastered by those at the giving end. It means that it is more than just a praise and criticism combined. It needs to be tailored to the receiver's concerns, leading them to positive corrections. So instead of merely saying, hey, well done, you know, good job, you may choose to be more specific and more constructive by saying, you have shown relentless effort in ensuring the workflow to be consistent and adaptable by others. And then you illustrate some examples of what the person has done. Mm. Or instead of correcting someone by saying, oh, you should have not done that just now, you could use a more constructive sentence like, your attempt is brave and admirable, but it is not suitable in the current situation. Perhaps it can be applied in other sessions.
So every time, very interesting, because it's not just negative. Constructive feedback is that you should not have done that. It can't be like that. Or even well done, you have to explain well done for what.
Exactly. Huh? Specifically, yeah.
Then you know that, okay, I repeat this behavior.
Yes.
But why is giving feedback so important?
Because it is an essential part of learning and development. No matter you are a student, you're a teacher, you're an employee or employer, in any ends that you are at, continued feedback leads to supposedly higher employees' engagement in their day-to-day operations. So when a leader gives a constructive feedback to his team, it improves their morale to produce high-quality work and boosts their motivation to do better. So, well, if it is very important, why don't people give feedback more often, right?
Yeah.
Essentially because of the fear.
Okay. What are these fears?
It's a fear of emotional reactions. People tend to not give feedback because they fear the emotional response of their receivers and the fact that they have to deal with the dialogues that comes next. So they tend to wait until a crisis arises and give a feedback by then instead of giving regular feedbacks for the intention of self-improvement.
Okay, so I think the for me, key there is the regular feedback, because if you wait until a situation, right, that's when the past stories will come up.
Yes.
Whereas if you do it regularly,
correct, right? For the intention of just improvement, it should highlight some of the things that you want the other person to improve as well. Right. By the time being,
other than the emotional reactions, what else?
This is, I think, the major one, which is the fear of conflict.
Yeah.
So when leaders or the givers of a feedback do not master the art of giving feedback properly, they are likely will be experiencing retaliation or rejection by the other party. Because most of them prefer giving feedback in a, you know, written form, email, as an escape la, of having to face a real issue. So when this happens, the receiver will not be able to clarify their shortcomings instantly. So as someone who is giving feedback to others, especially when you are leading an organization or a team, you should model the desired behaviors yourself. This will you know, help to eliminate the fear from both the giving and receiving ends from having to defend themselves or forced to agree with something they don't.
Okay, so what are the steps then to giving a constructive feedback so that, you know, it's as smooth as possible?
Right, okay, there are some steps to be taken in order to give a good constructive feedback. The most important one, number one, is to choose a suitable timing. Okay, so if you are overwhelmed with emotions, for example, you are angry, you are frustrated, you are disappointed with someone or somebody commit a mistake in a situation, just cool it off before you face the feedback recipient, basically. It is better to give feedback pertaining to a subject or an issue as soon as it happens rather than waiting for it to pile up, like I said just now. Not to accumulate, you know, what has happened in a big chunk of document and present it to the other person. So it is preferable to feedback about a single issue lah, compared to many issues at once. As we know, public recognition is greatly appreciated, but public scrutiny is definitely not. So yeah, this is one of the things. So provide any negative feedback privately and only to the targeted person, because these days some people tend to announce feedback that is unrelated to others, you know, in a public setting. Like now we use WhatsApp group chats, right? So anything, any problems, people tend to announce a comment in it, even though it's not related to all the other participants in the group chat. So I think that should be
avoided. And that's the thing with technology, right? Sometimes that's why it's easier to just email. And really, I think when it comes to feedback, it really has to be face-to-face.
Exactly.
I think that's the best
way.
The face-to-face, and then if you want to support it later on with an email to confirm what you said, that's
correct.
Fine. But that face-to-face is important. And
yeah,
sadly, I think a lot of us are losing the skills.
I know, because people tend to just take the easy way lah.
Okay, so other than choosing a suitable time?
Right, okay, next is to just state what you observed, meaning be specific when delivering your feedback by stating only from concrete evidence and not based on rumors or biased opinions. Emphasize when you want to state your observation, you use the I statement. I means that the feedback should come from your perspective, meaning instead of
you.
Yeah, instead of you this, you that. So say, okay, I was embarrassed when you criticized my proposal in front of the client. Instead of, hey, you are so insensitive in front of the client. You criticized my work.
Okay.
So just you know, direct it to your feelings first. Yeah, instead of you and you. Okay, and then after you state, is clearly what is observed. Explain the impact on how your observation impact a behavior on either you, maybe your team, your client, or your organization, perhaps. Right. So after explaining, remember to always remember to pause and give your recipient the time to think through what you have said, because you need to allow them a clearer picture of how the person has influenced the situation, even if it's a positive thing that
I think people need to process and digest.
Exactly, you need to take it in before react to you accordingly. So give them the time.
Okay, and the next step would be
next step will definitely be giving suggestions after stating what it is, clearly explaining it. So give suggestion for improvement to your receivers. You should make your receiver feel that you care. Right, and want to help the person grow. So it's what the feedback should be all about, to make sure you give a specific call to action if there's any, or if there's any change of behavior that is expected.
I find that a lot of people stop short of giving suggestion for improvement. And that's very, it's like, okay, so this has happened, da, da, da.
Correct.
What should I do instead? Because sometimes, okay, I've been commented and given these feedback, so what should I have done instead?
Exactly. And people tend to give like vague explanation on, see how you can improve later on. Like, you know, like vague explanation that doesn't help.
Yeah, so how can I, so if I do this, is that an improvement or not? So you have to be very suggestion improvement and very actionable items, right?
Yes, ideally, maybe give one or two suggestions to them. I mean, don't give a whole bucket list of things that they need to achieve by the end of the year or something. Just give one or two so they can take it from there.
Digest, process again, as I was saying. Okay, and then? Right.
Lastly, most importantly, also check for mutual understanding. So by, you know, asking your recipient to provide his or her perspective on the feedback you give and listen, master the art of listening as well to what the other person has to say. Because just now it was you who present all the things that you wanted to say. Now it's the other person's turn. So you should be open to receiving different views from your receiver as well. So if your receiver has got their own suggestions for improvement, you should ask them if they have any. So I think they will be more likely to follow through their own opinions and suggestions if it's good enough and if it fits into the situation. So this is also important, you know, sometimes after a feedback session, maybe your receiver will misunderstand what you actually try to deliver to them. So instead of it backfires to you in the future, or maybe somebody files another complaint to you because you didn't give a proper feedback, you should also be sure to document your conversations, if possible, to discuss what is working, what needs to be improvised in the future.
Okay. And what was this again? The sandwich approach, right?
The sandwich approach is one of the most effective, and I think most of us knows.
The sort of praise?
Yes. Yeah, it's got like three layers in a bread, and we put bread, and then we put some ingredients in the middle, and then basically another layer of bread.
Okay, so it's positive encouragement, followed by constructive statement, and it ends with the positive reassurance.
Yes.
The last layer of the bread. Okay.
How you can do that is, you can improve the feedback statement. Instead of, hey, you didn't speak loudly enough during the presentation. Instead of just that, you can use the sandwich technique by first, giving a positive encouragement by saying, your presentation was great. And then you made good eye contact and well prepared. And then maybe a little bit of constructive statement of, you were a little hard to hear at the back of the room. Okay, but with some practice, you give some positive reassurance to it. Okay. You can overcome this and keep up the good.
Okay, so instead of just saying, hey, can't hear you. Okay, yes. So you say, yeah, your presentation was great. Okay, eye contact. So the positive things. And then, of course, your comment and, of course, a positive reassurance as well. Now, again, you know, sometimes we do remember feedback strongly, but sometimes inaccurately, you know, selective hearing. And we'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Ashira Hussain talking about the art of receiving and giving feedback. Stay tuned to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Begin forwarded message. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm here with Shira Hussain talking about the art of receiving and giving feedback. Earlier on you shared, ways of giving the feedback, the sandwich approach you were saying. But sometimes you also remember feedback strongly, but sometimes inaccurately.
Yeah, this has to do a lot with emotions. We take a lot of things in, and then we feel a lot of things towards it. So we remember it so very strongly. But actually, we don't have to remember it that strongly. Uh-huh. We have to just remember the feedback accurately. In a sense, at times, it is difficult for us to feel like we're wrong, right? When someone else pointed out from us. So some of us may even fear the moment we need to receive feedback from our peers, our superiors, simply because we want to believe what we do is always right. This is human nature. So this can lead to high defensiveness or even denial sometimes if our attitude towards receiving feedback is not well adapted. So a feedback, whether it is given in an appropriate way or not, is still a feedback that we will likely receive, especially if it's work-related, such as performance review at the end of the year. You can't avoid that, and client evaluation after like a project or something. So it is up to us at the end, at the receiving end, to listen and receive the feedback with an open mind. Right, so we should master the art of receiving feedback no matter deliver it in our desired way or not, simply because it refers to a behavior that should and can be changed. So the best way to prepare yourself for receiving a feedback is, in fact, asking for more feedback, you know, without waiting for the moment, you know, maybe in your organization you have monthly evaluation of performance or something. Instead of waiting for that moment to come, just ask for feedback from your superiors regularly as many times as possible. So you can just always ask them, how could I handle the project, or how could I handle this issue more effectively?
It can
voluntarily.
So it can be. It can even be an everyday thing,
exactly.
Right? And so it doesn't have to wait. But it's very. So now you know, because the earlier part we were talking about people giving feedback, and now it's about receiving the feedback, right?
Yes.
And you're right, right? That regular thing, rather than waiting for the end of the year as well for a performance review. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just meet more regularly, you know, whatever challenges there may be, can be addressed almost immediately,
correct,
right?
Yes.
So how can you then receive feedback the best way possible?
Okay, so remember that when you prepare yourself to be receiving a feedback, you could always put in your mind to ask how could you handle a project differently, mm-hmm. and how, if the other person were in your position, how would they have done differently?
Yeah.
Just to give you other perspectives on how it is to receive a feedback. So no matter what we do or how well we do it, it is only natural that some feedback is eventually going to be communicated to us, whether we like it or not, at the end of the day. Mm. So although it is probably easier to take it personally, we should strive to at least perceive all feedback as a learning opportunity and remedy any errors we made along the way, right? So some of these ways of receiving feedback is, first of all, be open, clear your mind to receive new ideas and understand different perspectives from different people, basically. Just know that a lot, you know, not everybody think alike.
Yeah.
And control your emotion and try to let it pass before you reciprocate your input to the other person.
Mm.
Right. Pay attention to your non-verbal responses, like your facial expressions, your gestures. Maintain a calm one. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't fold your arms.
I know. Don't look so angry. Practice an appropriate body language, basically, that encourage the other person to talk, because you simply want the other person to give and react the same way if you were to give a feedback to another person. So, yeah, so be attentive. If you don't understand the feedback given to you, by all means, please ask questions to clarify, right? They should get an indication, and you should also give the same, that you understand what is being said, and ask for examples if you require the other person to illustrate whatever that they say to you.
Right, okay.
Right, then after receiving it, be reflective in assessing the value of the feedback given to you. Give a careful considerations on what to do next about it.
Mm.
Because it's all in your hand now. Now that the feedback is given, what were you going to do about it? If you are not sure, maybe you can ask for a second opinion about what to do next. And of course, be accountable by planning and executing the changes. If a behavioral change is expected from you, then you should rectify or improve based on the feedback, and also own your own actions and follow up lah in the future or after some time to discuss what have you improvised.
Mm. The performance reviews, I just don't like them. I always have this, you know, like, okay, I try to follow these steps, but it's always like, even though it's not a bad one, but I always feel like it's
like a critical moment because it's not done regularly, because it's towards like sometime, like half of the year.
Yeah, and then you're like,
thing.
What did I do? I forgot the first half of the year. And then you bring out something from the, it's like, why are you bringing this up from the past, right? So
exactly.
I think that's the thing, that if you do it regularly, it's no surprise.
It makes people nervous for no reason.
Yeah, and it's okay. Beginning of the year, you did this, we addressed it and you corrected it. So, I mean, it's so much more easier, right?
Yes.
So In conclusion,
feedback plays, as we know, very, very important role in personal and professional development, right?
Yeah.
So it is wise for us to understand the art of giving and receiving feedback, as well as ways to get better at doing them. Right, Marshall Goldsmith, if you've heard of him, an American leadership coach, emphasized the importance of dealing with the hard truth. It's still a truth, it's just that it's hard to receive, especially for leaders of organizations, to refrain themselves from being defensive when receiving feedback from others. So he said, leaders should always have the courage to ask for feedback, the humility to admit that he can improve, and the discipline to commit the actual change. And research also shows that when feedback is frequently exchanged between managers and employees, the employees' engagement rises up to at least 79%.
There you go. Okay.
Yep.
Frequently exchanged
would
be the key words. Okay.
So, great leaders need to realize the importance of their organizational success, as it highly depends on the frequent exchange of feedback. So to move forward together, constructive feedback needs to be given to all parties when operating the business. Anyway, everybody is heading towards the same goal as long as the feedback given is tied to the same vision. So So remember that when giving or seeking for a feedback, just focus on three things. Focus on, hey, where am I going? How am I going? And where to next? It's like before, during, and after. Right? So remember that a feedback is not given because of who you are. You don't have to take it very personally. It's about what you do.
It's not you, it's me.
And how to do better about in something, because there's always room for improvement in everything you do. So in life as much as in work, feedback can help strengthening existing relationships with those around you through your willingness to perform ongoing adjustments and basically cultivate growth mindset.
Right. I know also Leadernomics is organizing an event at the end of the month, right? And now my boss, Malik Ali, will be there
as
well.
Yes, he'll be there. So, coming up on the 26th of April, do join us in the SME CEO conference that will be held in the Vertical Bangsa for more discussion topics that will be led by prominent leaders who have succeeded in growing their organization, such as Malik Ali, Roshan Thiran, Alban Murthy, Vishen Lakhiani, and many others. So this is a special conference for CEOs, MDs, and company directors of SMEs. So you should expect a great sharing of insights on how to leverage technology, how to stay competitive in businesses, and learn new ways to overcome the factors constraining SME's ability to move from good to great.
And I think, and it's appropriate, right? Because we always hear about great, plans for MNCs. And SMEs probably, need to up their skills as
it's
well.
It's a great opportunity
When it comes to leading your team.
Yes.
Thanks for being with us, Shir Hussain from Leadernomics, talking about the art of giving and receiving feedback, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.